Money, 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 money. Money.
Ooh, that felt good.
Power, power, power.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, girls. We are on it. Listen, if our day job don't work out, coming soon to a club near you.
Listen, y'all too could sing, so don't even pretend like y'all can't do that.
Come on,
listen,
you got the look.
It's me.
You got the look, and I'm sure you could for a backup dance.
Come on now. We talking about the money today. Yeah, ching, ching, ching. Yeah. Does the money tree. Huh? And every time a ching, money comes to me. Woo. It all flows in so abundantly. Boom. From the top, left, right, and up under me. Wave, wave, wave. I'm a money wave.
Yes.
Money flow, money flow, money made. Flowing in and out, plus money saved. Debt, debt, debt. All debt is paid.
Yeah.
All right, all right, all right. Listen, we're coming here with enthusiasm and excitement today because we're talking about money. You know, and according to where you're listening to us in the world, we could be talking about the Benjamins. We could be talking about the Marlins.
Yes,
we could be talking about the bag.
Or cheddar.
Cheddar.
Whatever you want to call it,
so many definitions.
It is a tool of our business.
Yes.
It is, you know, we're called to serve.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of serving, it has to mean something.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, and if you're a part of any or listening to any thought leaders now, you hear 2024 is the year of more, the year of
open doors,
abundance, expected harvest. Mm-hmm. All of these things, and money is the tool to get you there.
Absolutely. Money is really the foundation of, you know, why people go into business. I mean, yes, there's so many other elements, but the measure of success in business, you in business to make money.
And there's there's a scripture in Ecclesiastes that actually says, talks about money is a defense.
Okay.
All right.
And you know, with all of the affirmations of why money is important and logically knowing that, why is it that it's not a feel-good subject? Especially more so, I would say, with women.
Mm-hmm.
When we become owners, a grand majority of have said that the finances are scary. The math ain't mathing.
I'm not good at math.
Yeah.
I'm afraid to look at the money.
Exactly. Yeah. And or sometimes we're afraid to ask for
Absolutely.
The money.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. For sure.
And these are all taboo things that resound in our hearts and our mindsets. And to this month, April, is financial literacy month. And so it would be remiss on us not to talk about the money. But this also a special day, y'all, here and there.
Tell them. It is Shavi Flowers' birthday.
Happy birthday.
It's my birthday.
Come again.
I am accepting all shout outs. Because you know what?
We ain't want no shout outs. We want money. This is what we talking about. Okay? This is a money topic. We want money. For sure.
But I'm just excited to be having this conversation and allowing this to come forth on such a special day. So, as we talk about the mindset and the fears that come up, what are some of the things that you guys have experienced that you ladies have experienced? That you ladies have experienced with hearing, whether it's yourself or experiencing with others, with the money and their business.
You can go first, Shami.
Yeah, I think I have to start off with confession because I was one of those persons. I might perhaps even call myself a recovering negative mindset person when it comes down to money, because I would be the one to say, oh, I'm not good with money. Oh, my husband, especially because my husband is in the financial service sector, you know,
right?
And he'll handle it. And then I'm of course associating now with more and more women entrepreneurs. They're pushing me and say, well, yeah, it's good to have someone who knows it, but you need to know it too.
Absolutely.
And it's important. So I've had to now shift that and begin to shift it to realize that it does matter. I do need to know. It's important. How am I going to grow if I don't know where I am? And so it's been constantly affirming that yes, you are good with money. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can know the numbers. Yes, because you have to know your numbers to grow your numbers. Mm-hmm. And so, mm-hmm. you know, all of these things. And but it's a constant thing. It's constantly reminding myself, yes, I might be able to outsource the process of monitoring the numbers, mm-hmm. but I can't outsource mindset.
Mm-hmm.
I can't mm-hmm. outsource mindset. So I have to adopt the right mindset towards embracing the numbers, towards knowing that it does matter to know. Even if I'm not as good as someone else,
right.
it's that mindset. I have to have the right mindset towards it.
Yeah.
You need to know. When we look at the history of women and just how the system, how we started with, you know, slavery, women, there were seasons. There was a season when women were not supposed to look
right.
at the money. It was yeah. not expected True. For it. The banks wouldn't even look at you if you didn't have a, if you did not have a man or husband.
Right.
And so I think it stems from that history.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, at the end of the day, there was a time in our history as women where we that
it
was
supported
that,
our ignorance. Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. We were, that was not even something that you should even be concerned about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember the story with, I just finished the book, Walk Through Fire, Sheila Johnson. And she talked about when she became a billionaire, mm-hmm. and her husband, they are the founders of BET.
Ah, yes.
Black Entertainment Television. She became a billionaire. They sold the company, et cetera, and mm-hmm. the valuation was $1 billion. They got divorced. The money was split.
Mm-hmm.
And she shared the story that, again, this was back in the day now, a long time ago. She had nearly $1 billion in the bank for her as a single woman now,
mm-hmm.
and the banks would still not look at her. They would not respond wow. to her. They were still asking her, where is her husband, mm-hmm. to discuss the money that was under her bank, her name.
Wow.
And she got to a point where she literally had to threaten them. And so that was a history, no matter what you had, mm-hmm. whether you had it or not as a female, you were not seen regarded. As someone mm-hmm. who manages money or should be managing your money on mm-hmm. your own. And I think that's such a that's important to recognize, because we always wonder why are women so afraid or tend to kind of
shy
away from right. it. I think a lot of it had to do historical with the history
context, yeah.
yeah.
I think wow it brings to bear, because what I just heard is that we are a product of conditioning. We are a mm-hmm, product of culture.
Absolutely. Yep.
It's really good to sometimes dive deep and see where the genesis of our deficit
right.
really comes from. And so if you've been carrying that on your back, know that the system has been designed to keep you mm-hmm. at a disadvantage. But guess what? Cry freedom.
Yeah.
Today
give us free.
Is the, yes. Yeah. Today is the day of reckoning. I also think that another mindset blockage with money comes in when it comes to pricing. We price as we see ourselves and our affordability, mm-hmm, like what mm-hmm. I could afford, versus pricing not only for your
yeah.
expertise and abilities, but pricing for the value of what you do.
Yes.
Because those two can be two different things. What is the value of your service to
that client?
To that client.
Yeah.
And if you're saving them a significant amount of time, money, and resources, why are you charging small?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. That leads to a chapter in the book that I love and I've been, you know, talking about, raving about, recommending. Give Yourself a Raise, The Mindset and Math to Make Your First Million by Erin Haig. Hey, Erin.
Hi, Erin.
I'm going through her pricing certification, and she has a chapter that I love mm-hmm. because I think there's such an important mindset piece. You can charge more than your personal budget allows. We tend to think, because I cannot afford potentially my service. So if you charge, you know, $20,000 for ghostwriting services, Charmaine, mm-hmm. because I feel I can't pay that $20,000 for ghostwriting services, I should not be charging it. And I love the mindset that she goes into. That's not how it works.
You are not your client.
You are not your client. You know, do you think the, and she gave the analogy or the example, a real estate agent who is selling $10 million homes, mm-hmm. some of them are not able to afford those homes, right. maybe not yet.
Right.
But if you do not charge the value of that home, you will never be able to afford a home.
Exactly.
And so I love that mindset, and I think a lot of women struggle with that.
Yes.
I can't afford it, so I shouldn't be charging it.
Correct. Well, get free today because you're not serving you. You're bringing service to others, and there is a value to what you provide. So yes. there you go.
Mm-hmm.
So today we just talked a little bit about some of the mental blocks around money, and those are very limited. I'm sure if we
so much more
really,
we could have a whole show.
Exactly. We could go on tour, but we wanted to not just dive into the mindset, but we wanted to actually give you four things or four numbers or that you as a business owner should become familiar with. And these are numbers that you should monitor on, whether it's a weekly, monthly, quarterly, annual basis. These are some numbers that you should start to be comfortable with. And if you were ever in conversation with your accountant, or if you're the accountant yourself, these are numbers that should stick up with you.
Mm-hmm.
And those four things would be what? One
is you must know your profit margins, right? So
yes.
the profit analysis is something that you must know. And I love this focus on profit and not, you know, gross revenue. I think, you know, I don't know if you've heard of the book, Profit First by Mike Michalowicz.
That's your boy.
That's my boy. He's I think he's made Profit First
yes.
or Profit Focus popular. I could be wrong, but I know that was the book that really I first started to read. But you must be able to know what are the margins in your business, right? So how much is your operating expenses, and what is that percentage of your in that percentage based on your revenue? What is the payroll expenses? How are you paying for yourself and your team, and what is that margin? What is that profit center? And it's really being able to say, okay, out of all the money that I'm making, we love to say six-figure income, but out of that six-figure income, which is good because, you know, I believe there's so many more women need to make six figures, seven figures. Absolutely. So that's still a target we are pushing towards. Even in the boardroom, that's the goal, to get women to make six figures or more. But it's also now looking at what percentage of that $100,000 income, $250,000 income are going towards your expenses, are going towards your payroll, are going towards your profit.
Yep.
And, you know, I recently did a profit analysis, and I learned for 2023, last year, my profit was 90 plus percent of my revenue. No, not my profit. Oh, that would have been sweet. That's 2024. My expenses were 90 plus percent, over 90 percent of my revenue.
Wow.
So I only had less than 10 percent profit when the recommended number was 30%. A minimum 30% profit, right? And so what we should know as women is what are profit analysis? You know, how much profit are we getting in? How much, what percentage of that is profit? What percentage of that is payroll? Which percentage of that is operating expenses? And are they aligned?
Yeah, and then even the importance of it. So people say, well, I don't need to know. Yeah, you need to know, because understanding your profit margin helps you to determine how well your business is performing, you know, relative
Absolutely.
To the expenses. And you need to know, you know, are you making a healthy profit margin? You know, that's indicative of your financial soundness of your business. We don't want to just be in business to be busy.
Yeah, and when we, I mean, I work with women all the time, and we've heard women say, and I've even said it in the past, we make all that money, but at the end of the year, where did it go?
Yeah.
Where did it go? That is a big struggle of women. And so knowing your profit analysis, knowing what, where is the money going in your business, and are you actually making a profit, is a big thing as we evolve as women.
And I can tell you there are two things that I heard just now. The first of which is, don't wait until the end of the year to figure this out. Because then when you've worked, you've put your head down, you've sold, you've serviced, you've taken care of clients, you had the memberships, you did all of the work, only to realize when you pulled your head up, that you are not necessarily in the hole, but you don't, your hole ain't, you ain't far from it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's one thing. And then two, this is also a good way to rate a possible coach or mentor. Mm. A lot of times we are caught up and excited when we see the courses get a six-figure this and bring you up to seven. I would say ask the questions, especially if you are hiring a coach specifically. It's one thing if you're doing a course, because a course is, you know, information. But if you're going to work with a coach who said, I can give you six-figure lifestyle within XYZ, start to ask some of the questions. So is this just six-figure revenue? Are you driving me to six-figure profit? Mm-hmm. How can you help me to gain a better handle on my revenue versus operating expenses? Just a thought.
Really good. Mm-hmm. Really good. And so knowing these are incredibly important, right? What is that gross revenue? What are your operating expenses? What are your profit margins? Make those decisions. Are they too high? Are you paying yourself too little? That's another thing. Or not at all, which is a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
And all of that comes under the profit analysis conversation.
There you go. Then we go into the second set of numbers that you need to be aware of. Mm-hmm. And we just actually talked about it.
Yeah.
It is your operating expenses.
Yes.
Do you really know what you're paying out? Do you know all of those little pesky, I call them the little pesky monthly
spending on
recurring fees? A little $20 membership here, a little $12, a little $97, a little $297. And they're all seemingly innocuous as they come out. And if you're not watching your numbers, they come and they go. Mm-hmm. They come and they go.
Yep.
And some of those programs, some of those things, you're not necessarily using.
Yeah.
Yep.
But you should be tracking them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you tracking your everyday expenses on a daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly basis? Because not all charges come at the same time.
No. Absolutely.
And that's the problem right there.
Yeah.
Last week, I was so proud of myself. I think I shared with you all, I'm just finishing up tracking all of my expenses, put it in this document so I can work on analyzing and doing everything with my pricing. And just as I finished saving the document, in comes this notification on my phone to say, thank you for your payment of such and such. I said, what in the world was that? I didn't even have that on my list of expenses. It was too funny.
It's annoying, isn't it? Right? It's like, I forgot that one. The question I love that you actually is, if I were to ask you, how much money do you need to cover your expenses each month, do you know the answer? No.
Yeah.
And it's that's a number that you need to know.
Yeah.
Because that ties to sales.
Yes.
Before even we get to pricing, that ties to how much do you need to sell in order to break even
absolutely
each month. And it's not just the fixed monthly expenses, but it's also that one time
annual
expense that we tend to forget. And I love, again, I'm going through the pricing overhaul process. And what I love about this process is, if you know that, okay, once a year or last year, if you do your operating expenses analysis last year, and you know that in April that you purchase a new laptop, that's a one-time expense.
Mm-hmm.
you are not, you're still factoring that in to your ongoing monthly expense.
Correct.
Because potentially next year you may need to make another purchase. It may not be a laptop, but it may be a similarly priced purchase. You want to build that into your expenses so you have the money for it.
Mm-hmm.
I love that, because we tend to say, oh, I just bought that laptop last year and that's a one-time thing. I'm not going to buy that again.
Correct.
But you may buy something else that you need. That needs to be factored into your monthly operating expense.
Yeah. Mm. And usually they have capital expenditure budget as a budget line on your financials. And so if you know that capital expenditure, because there are some growth years and then some maintenance years. And so you want to be able to factor that in for your growth year so that you have that money ready to go.
And knowing the monthly revenue needed. So if you know that laptop or that capital expense is going to be $5,000 for the year and that's a one-time fee.
That's a $600.
You separate that each month.
Yeah.
Right? So you know that a part of your monthly revenue needs for your operating expenses includes the monthly amount that leads to that one-time fee.
Purchase, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Put it in the budget. With all that talk of expenses, I'm hearing people listening and they'd be like, oh Lord, I have more expenses than I think. Okay, so how could I, you know, streamline? And I think even before we came and realized we were going to deal with this topic, you know, Cherie, you were giving us some ideas too of how you were working with a client and helping them even with a launch and how they could, you know, reduce these expenses so that they could, you know, up their profit margin. And I'm just thinking, you know, maybe we could give them some hope. You know, what are some of the things that they can practically do to help shave off these expenses that come up? I think, I know Keisha mentioned too about taking one particular program she's using and amalgamating,
merging
so that you could kind of do away with some of the things you have. And I would add, you know, perhaps even some automation would help with, you know, reducing some of the expenses and maximizing your profits. Any other little things we could perhaps give them?
Absolutely. Two things I just immediately thought of. If you go back to the last episode where we talked about spring cleaning, we talked about taking or cleaning up your technology and your tools.
Mm-hmm.
I find that I'm paying for a lot of little things that can be redundant. So when you look at your systems and your sales process, what are some of the things that have been expanded? You know, we just talked about how you found a program that you're paying for.
Yeah.
You weren't harnessing not even 20% of what it's able to do. Mm-hmm. And then when you were made aware of, you realize that once everything is merged into this new program, you could release about two to three.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And so
big savings.
But in order to do that, you've got to do your spring cleaning. But more so, you've got to get the habit of reviewing your charges weekly and monthly. Mm-hmm. Because just like you did the exercise, there was something that popped up.
Yeah.
And to get started, I'm going to tell you right now, it's not going to feel good. Because you're going to print out the last 12 banking statements for all your accounts. And you're going to go through that. And then you're going to put it in your accounting, all of the little charges. You're going to realize that there are some things that you're paying annually. And are you still using those things?
Yep. We forget.
We really, really forget. Or that course you paid for and you've not even opened the platform. So, and then maybe opening the platform can give you something revenue boosting to help you.
Yes.
So these are some of the ways that you can harness the power of managing your expenses and then knowing them so that you can make decisions for your business.
There's a great question that's in the book that I love, and I think it's a question that we can bring up here. Just when you look at your expenses, because honestly, I have not been that person to say, and I know we have coaches like that, but I've not been that person to say cut expenses for the sake of cutting expenses, right? That sounds good. But then again, we don't want to contract. We don't want to always be in that mindset of contracting. Right. The question that I love is, will eliminating this expense make my business life easier or harder? And it's really looking at the expense and say, I can cut that. Yeah, that'll save me an extra $500, whatever the amount is. But will that make my business life now harder?
Mm.
And if the answer is yes, sis, I ain't cutting that.
Nope.
Exactly.
I'm sure. I mean, yes, we need to cut expenses, but that one, because again, we're still in business. We talked about it at last episode. We also need to make sure that we are operating in a way that makes us feel good.
Yes.
And business is not supposed to always be hard. And so when you are looking at your expenses, like me, when I looked at my expenses and I'm like, okay, what do I cut? Yes, I can cut some technology, because Lord, I spy technology all. I know. There's always a technology I potentially could cut now. Do I want to cut it?
Yeah.
That's a whole other story. But
but
there are some that I'm like, no, this is making my life easier. Correct. I'm going to keep it.
Correct.
And then, of course, that leads to the next numbers that you need to know.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's that next number you need to know now that you say it?
So once you have defined what your expenses are, the ones that you know that you're going to keep. And of course, and this kind of segues into several numbers in one category, but it's now, what is your monthly break-even amount? Mm-hmm. Right? What is your monthly revenue needs? Mm-hmm. Like, what do you need? You know what your expenses are. Mm-hmm. You know which ones you have cut. You know which ones you know you need to cut.
Mm-hmm.
So what is that amount as far as your operating expenses? And then how much are you paying yourself? What is your payroll expense?
Mm-hmm.
And we should be all paying ourselves.
Please pay yourself. Don't live off the business bank account.
Mm-hmm.
Pay yourself.
So your monthly revenue needs include, what is your monthly break even?
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, how much do I need to make to cover my expenses?
Mm-hmm.
And then, on top of that monthly break even, what is my profit?
There you go.
Right? So ideally, we should be making 30% profit in our business. Ideally, minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you need to make $10,000 to cover all of your expenses and your payroll needs, add 30% on top of $10,000. That is your monthly revenue needed.
There you go.
Am I making sense?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
You tracking?
Because what we don't want to have is just being able to meet that break-even amount.
Yes.
And we're not making a profit. Mm-hmm. So we want to bake in the profit of ideally 30% to say now, okay, I need $10,000 to live in my business. Plus, I also want 30% profit. I need to add that 30% profit into the amount of money I need to make overall each month.
Mm-hmm. So when you add up, let me, for clarity, for me, this is my methodical brain. So you add up all your monthly expenses.
Mm-hmm.
That includes your operating expenses as mm-hmm. well.
As well as your payroll.
And after adding up all your expenses, do you add your 30% projected profit? So you've added up all of the expenses. Now, do we want to, the 30% you're talking about, how is that added in? What name are we giving that amount to subtract that from the total income that we get to find out what is the break even? Because you say now the break even needs to also include this 30% profit that you want to give yourself.
No, the break even is your expenses.
Yeah,
that or just that. Your expenses.
Okay.
Like that is what you must cover.
Understood.
To live, to survive your business. That's the business surviving.
Gotcha.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't want to always survive. Mm-hmm. We want our business to thrive. We want our business to make a profit.
Mm-hmm.
What people don't do is they do not bake in that profit.
Mm.
So they're hitting their break-even amount, but are they making a profit?
Gotcha.
And so if your number is, hey, I need to make, again, let's go with an easy number. Well, let me know. Let me pull up some numbers that I have here. 21,306. That's mm-hmm. my monthly break even.
Yes.
That's what I need. Now, I want to make on top of that 30% profit.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So my monthly revenue needed is now $30,438. Mm. So that's the amount of money I need to make.
Gotcha.
I don't want to break even each month because why be in business?
Yeah, yeah. And so when you now then sit down to do your sales numbers, like what is the drive? What's the revenue I've got to bring in?
That's a $30,000 number.
That's the reach you're going for, is the $30,000. Because when you've hit that, you automatically realize that you've gotten a $7,000 odd profit built in there.
Correct.
That you know when extracted goes over to the...
That's your profit account. That's your profit.
Yeah.
Right? And ideally, I love that model.
Yeah.
And I don't see enough women, and I could put myself in that that boat. We don't think about that. Mm-hmm. We think of, okay, I just need one. If we focus on expenses and how much we need, we focus on, okay, I just need to cover these. Mm-hmm. Once I cover these, I good. Yeah. No, but is your business making a profit?
Yeah. Yep.
So this is the level of conversation I would love to see more and more women have.
And not only have, but have it at the ready call.
Mm-hmm.
You should be walking around with your numbers as fluent from you as your sales systems, as your product. Be very comfortable to languish in the numbers.
And these are the conversations that this year in the boardroom, of course, this is April, so a new season of the boardroom is starting. We are having, because the nature of the boardroom, this is a boardroom podcast. The nature of the boardroom is when you go into the boardroom, we talk numbers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anywhere in the boardroom, anywhere in the world, there's some conversation about numbers happening.
Correct.
And so that's something that we are excited to even dive further into the boardroom and the members of the boardroom this year. Do you know your numbers? Can you readily pull it up? Can you readily have a conversation without stuttering? Do you know your profit analysis for the last quarter or the last year? And how are you making sales decisions? How are you making pricing decisions?
Correct.
Around the numbers. Otherwise, it's arbitrary. You're just not putting it out of the sky.
Exactly. Not about the feelings.
And there's nothing wrong with that at the beginning. You know, because there's a phase of growth for every person, but there has to be a point where we graduate and say, hey, you know what? We are women. Right. We are women in business, and we know our numbers, and we don't have to apologize for it.
So just to recap, the numbers so far is to know your profit margin, to know your operating expenses, to know your monthly revenue needs, which, as we've broken down, knowing your break-even, but your break-even with profit.
With profit. Mm-hmm.
And last but not least, know your...
You need to know your monthly client value.
What you talking about, Willis?
I love this one. And again, we are going through the profit... The pricing overhaul method, which is the method that I've loved. And it says the moment you know, you find out exactly how much each client should be paying you each month is your monthly client value. So the amount of money that you know or you need for your clients to pay you each month is your monthly client value. So if you know that your monthly revenue needed is $30,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you say, I want to serve 10 clients, max. How much should your monthly client value be? Any mathematicians in the house?
$3,000.
That's your monthly client value. That's how much that client should be worth to you if you are needing or expecting to cover your monthly revenue needs. And so the question then becomes, if that's your monthly client value and you are charging $500, you wonder why you're hitting your needs. You wonder. You wonder why you're struggling financially each month. You're not hitting the needs. You see the money coming in, but it's really not enough.
Mm. Correct.
Right? That's where the gap is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, folks, this is eye-opening. You know, I was watching a Dave Ramsey short just scrolling through mm-hmm. the internet on YouTube, and he took a call from a lady, and he asked her the question, or it seemed like he would have asked her, so what price are you charging for whatever it was? And so she gave him a price figure, and he said, well, where did you get that figure from? And she said, from a butt.
From a butt.
And Dave Ramsey lost it. Mm. But how many times we really get that figure from a butt?
Or from what we think, would we see our competitors, someone else in the industry charging when we may not realize that they undercharging? Yeah. And so half the market is undercharging, then you follow along. Everybody undercharging. No one is making a decision based on the actual math.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you start to really get comfortable with the numbers, I think the light bulb goes on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because then now you're looking at your business from a different way. It's mm-hmm. almost like you brought everyone to the boardroom table
mm-hmm,
to mm-hmm. give input on what we need to do to upscale. Because now if you are the $500 a month charging type of individual, but you're incurring these expenses, what do you need to upgrade in yourself, in your business, mm-hmm. in your deliverables
Absolutely.
To bring you to the point of 3,000? Sometimes you're offering a $3,000 product, but it's packaged mm-hmm. like a $500 product.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so you just need to tweak and repackage that so that it shows more of the value that you're providing.
Yeah.
And so the money helps you make light of the method that you need to take in your business.
Yeah.
I like that. Mm-hmm. The money gives light to the method.
Mm-hmm. Y'all could have one for free.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
I'll take
anytime.
And there is a fair now, which leads to the other conversation, which perhaps is a whole other episode, mm-hmm. is if you know there is a gap, if you know that, look, the amount of money I'm charging for my offers is not helping me reach my monthly revenue needed, I need to do something about it. I need to raise my prices.
Yep.
And then what is that conversation you're having with yourself? What are those thoughts, those feelings, those fears that prevents you from actually raising your prices? Mm. Because it ain't no longer a feeling.
Yeah.
You the know facts that. Are there. Yeah. You know that in order for me to have the lifestyle and the business and the operations that I need to be successful,
yeah,
I need to charge this amount. And what's preventing women mm-hmm. from raising their prices, or as we say in the book, to give yourself a raise. Right. Mm-hmm. That's a whole other conversation, mm-hmm. I believe. But we're talking about the four numbers you need to know.
Yeah. But I mean, it makes sense.
At least once you know your numbers, that level of awareness now has to come.
Yeah.
And then, of course, awareness could lead to change, even mm-hmm. though that change may happen over time.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
But the awareness has to lead to change eventually.
Absolutely.
That makes sense. Yeah. No, it you say it doesn't. That's another thing for another time, but everything we've given them aligns for the pricing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because you started with profits, you know, think about it. Do you know your profit that you're making? Then you went from there and you're talking about production. What's mm-hmm. the expenses to actually produce either the service or
mm-hmm,
whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Then of course, what are the proceeds? You know, what's your revenue that you're generating? And then of course you look at the people. The client value, mm-hmm. you know, who are the people you need to
get,
how much you need to get the revenue so you want to make everyone. So it just makes sense after you talk about the profit, the production, and the proceeds and the people. Then hey, what's your price?
Yeah,
y'all gotta come up with a price.
You gotta have the price conversation, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get comfortable with the money. Now I know we've given you a lot of reasons why knowing those numbers are important, and if you are feeling like, well, where do I start?
Mm-hmm.
A couple of things that I would suggest to you to do is to invest in financial software. Get comfortable with keying in your numbers. A lot of these programs also can just start to pull mm-hmm. information from your bank account.
Yep.
And so then, and it categorizes things so that you can start to see. And as much as you can do where you're paying from your bank account, the more it can actually track your information, as opposed to you withdrawing money from the ATM. Yes, I know some people don't do it and some people still do it, but I'm just giving you ideas. Then have regular financial reviews.
Yeah.
Don't make this it's tax time, get your receipts. No, make this a weekly rhythm, a monthly rhythm, a quarterly rhythm, and an annual rhythm, right? Yeah. And then educate yourself and your team. Get comfortable talking about the money. I think when you lead a team and you're making them aware of the finances and the financials, you're not only empowering them to help make more fiscal responsible decisions.
Get that buy-in.
But yeah, you've got now a buy-in for the direction of where the company needs to go and how it needs to get there. So now when I'm sitting with a customer, if I'm in sales or if I'm dealing with a marketing packaging for the company, I'm now driven with the money in mind. And then if you really don't know, and educating your team also helps them put things in perspective. So you're not asking, they know the importance of presenting that financial information. Like, they're coming with solutions, but they're also coming with the financial response of that solution, right? And then last but not least, consult with the experts. You probably went into business because you're really good at something, right? And if money is a weak area for you, don't be afraid to ask for help. Get yourself involved with a coach. Shameless plug.
Okay.
We've got our resident coach right here in the boardroom. Pricing of a home.
Join the boardroom.
Join the boardroom. And that's one of the areas that we can help develop. But when you have a team surrounding you, helping you to know where to go to look for these numbers, knowing how to plug in, knowing how to read those numbers, we help you become an empowered business owner. An empowered business owner can certainly make impact, income, and
influence.
Okay, that's right. So you know the why, and then now you know the how. What else, ladies?
Well, I think we gave them a lot to chew on already.
Get to work.
Especially those last tips you gave them. I think this just even reminding them about those things, you know, the financial software that you talked about, the frequent review. I think that's so key, because I have to confess, I'm not doing that as often as I should. So that really was conviction for me. And I think you mentioned something about feeding your team with the information so that they also know. And then, of course, find your expert. Find an expert who could, you know, be around those.
Yeah, I should do that.
So, flawless. Just a reminder. Thank you so much.
I add another F. Flawless. And then once again, it's Flower's birthday.
Yes. Don't forget. And y'all can find her on Facebook, Cherie A. Flowers. And send her an inbox message and tell her to send her your link, the Zelle link. Y'all could, okay?
But we got to close out just how we started. So
there you go.
Three, two, one, go.
Ching, ching, ching goes the money tree. And every time a ching, money comes to me. It all flows in so abundantly. From the top, left, right, and up under me. Wave, 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 I'm a money wave. Money flow, money made. Flowing in and out, plus money saved. Debt, all debt is paid.
Go get your money.
Come on now.
Until next time.
See ya. Have a good one.
All right.